So if you're just joining us, this is the right place. This is Health Ranger Live. This is the audio event. And hopefully everything's coming in loud and clear. Remember that if any of this cuts out at any point during the program, don't freak out. It's all okay. Right after this program, I'm going to be emailing you a download link to the MP3 file for the entire program. And that's going to be coming to you in less than an hour after the end of this presentation. So you'll be able to get the whole thing very, very soon. All right, now I'm just adjusting some levels here. Hopefully it won't be too loud or too soft. It looks like it's pretty good. Sometimes I get excited about certain topics and it gets a little loud. Get excited about things happening in the world. All right, we've got 1 minute to go here. 1 minute to go. Thank you for joining us, by the way. This is going to be all kinds of fun. The email address to send questions is healthrangerlive@naturalnews.com. I'm just sending a couple of emails here out to some folks who need a little bit of assistance getting this going. So, stay with me here. We're going to be starting in 1 minute. Okay, sound level looks good. We have questions already coming in. And we are going to begin. Here we go. All right, thanks for joining me. It's really an honor, really a pleasure to be able to speak with you, all the hundreds of people joining us here tonight. And I want to thank you for your support. And I want to tell you how much I honor your intention here and your support. And I've really gone to great lengths to get you the very best information that I can. I'm not going to spend a lot of time introducing it all. I'm just going to get right to it. All right, so I just want to let you know how thankful I am that we are together here. And I also want to let you know that this is about eliminating fear. A lot of people have fear right now in the economy, in the environment. They're really afraid of what's happening. They're not sure. And I'm here to tell you that there are viable strategies to eliminate that fear, to be able to face the future with confidence. And that's the important thing, with confidence about saving your money, protecting your money, maybe even growing your wealth in certain strategic ways that we'll talk about here. This is about facing the future with confidence. Most people are running around just scared because they don't know what's coming and they don't understand banking. And they certainly don't understand fractional reserve banking. They don't understand how the Fed works and they don't understand the real motivations of the politicians in Washington right now who are debating this very minute whether you should go broke first. That's what they're really debating. And we'll talk about that. It's amazing. All right, the format here tonight is going to be 40 to 65 minutes of this presentation. And I'm going to be giving you a lot of concrete information. So be prepared to take some notes. There are some things you'll want to write down or type in to your computer. Then after that, we're going to do Q&A. For at least 30 minutes, maybe longer, depending on what's happening, depending on how many questions are coming in, and if they're really good questions. So we'll do our best to answer all the questions that we can. If you send a question, please make sure it's a question that applies to more than just you. Don't send one in like, what should I do about my specific retirement? No, like, it should apply to everybody. So go ahead and send those questions in. You can email them to healthrangerlive@naturalnews.com and use that email address during this event at any time to go ahead and send us your questions. Next, there's a disclaimer, a big disclaimer here, and that is that I am not a financial advisor and I have no special training in finance or investment advice. In fact, everything I've learned about it, I've learned from being a journalist, from just observing the world and learning how the world works and putting the pieces of that puzzle together. It's all self-taught knowledge. As a result, you should not use anything I say as direct financial advice without first talking to your own financial advisor. Okay? I'm not attempting to replace your financial advisor in any way. All I'm attempting to do here is to give you strategies and ideas that I believe are do that they in fact transcend the typical information that a financial advisor would give you. Because remember this, and I apologize if any of you listening are financial advisors, but most financial advisors told people to keep buying dot-com stocks right before the dot-com crash, right? Remember that? And they told you to keep buying houses right before the housing crash. And now what are they telling you? Well, they don't know. They don't really have any answers. I was the guy out there telling you to sell. Before 2001, I started warning about the dot-com crash in 98. I started warning about the housing crash in 2006. I've been ahead of every big crash in terms of just predicting it. But again, I don't have credentials, and I'm not officially a financial advisor. So take all this information with a grain of Celtic sea salt. And by the way, you know, every investment decision has risk. There is risk in everything. There's risk in doing nothing. In fact, I think right now there's more risk in doing nothing than there is in taking some risk. That's my personal opinion, and I'll talk about that. If you do nothing, if you just leave your money in the banks, in U.S. dollars, in this financial system, then I think that's a big risk. So the risk is from inaction rather than from taking action. So we will talk about that. All right, here we go. Let's talk about the financial risk right now. What's happening right now today? The big topic is the bailout. It's a huge risk, and we're starting to get some language from the top people right now, you know, McCain, Bush, Paulson, Treasury Secretary Paulson, and so on. This language is so scary that I'm just going to read it to you. I don't even have to add to it. Listen to this. McCain said today, this is today from John McCain, America this week faces an historic crisis in our financial system. We must pass legislation to address this crisis, he said. If we do not, and this is the scary part, credit will dry up with devastating consequences for our economy. People will no longer be able to buy homes, and their life savings will be at stake. Businesses will not have enough money to pay their employees. If we do not act, every corner of our country will be impacted. That's McCain. Have you ever heard politicians use that kind of language? I mean, usually they talk about, oh, we might have a minor recession, but nothing really bad could ever happen here. No, not here in the U.S. We have the full faith and credit of the U.S. government backing us. But now McCain is using this very direct language, very scary language to most people. On top of that, President Bush said today, and I can't believe I'm quoting Bush to support my position, but here we go. He said, we are in the midst of a serious financial crisis, and the federal government is responding with decisive action. Insert laughter right here. Decisive. It's decisive action. He said, the market is not functioning properly. Not functioning properly. Well, I got to tell you this. The market is functioning properly. Bursting this fake financial bubble is the market working properly. And what Bush wants to do, and what most of these elected representatives want to do, is they want to interfere with the proper function of the market. They want to cause this bailout to lengthen the amount of time it will take us to economically heal. And the risk to you, this is what it has to do with you, is that if this bailout passes, it will absolutely result in the hyperinflation of the U.S. dollar. That's if the bailout passes. So if they create $700 billion out of thin air, which is what they're talking about doing, it dilutes the power of the money that you've already worked hard for and saved and put in your bank account and your retirement account. It dilutes the value of that money, maybe to the point where you could lose 50, 70, 90% of the spending power of your dollars. And how did you lose that? Because the Fed stole it from you. And that's what these politicians are pushing for. They want this bailout because it protects their buddies, their rich buddies. It steals money from you, the working people. You and me, we're all working people. We're the working class. And it gives the money to the elite class so that they don't have to take responsibility for all the losses that they incurred and passed on to somebody else. That's what's happening. So if the bailout passes, watch out. Your dollar is going to inflate. We will talk about strategies right here to insulate yourself from that inflation. I will get to that in just a couple of minutes, but I want to make sure you understand the severity of this situation. Now, if the bailout doesn't pass, what's the risk to you? If the bailout doesn't pass, we could be looking at a total collapse of the financial system. A total collapse. In fact, if the Fed hadn't already stepped in and put in another $120 billion on one day and then another $80 billion another day and hundreds of billions of dollars over the last few weeks, if they hadn't done that, we would already be living in a collapsed financial system. The banks would be shut down. The businesses would be shut down. I mean, we would have riots in the streets right now if that didn't happen. So the Fed actually saved us in a way. They actually gave us a bit of a reprieve, you see. They gave us a way to sustain this downward plunge so that we don't have to pay the price until a little bit later. And we can debate whether that's a good thing or a bad thing to do. And we'll debate that later. But for right now, the important thing to know is that they are stuck between a rock and a hard place. They must either hyperinflate the currency and bail out the banks, or they must not do the bailout and allow the banking system to fail. And I do mean fail. All that trillions of dollars in leveraged debt will unwind and become deleveraged. And at that point, many, many banks, hundreds of banks would go under, and your dollars would be at risk and your investments would be at risk. So again, a rock and a hard place. What do you do? Either way, you're going to lose money on this deal, right? Well, now let's go to the solutions so that you don't have to lose money on this deal. The key concept in this is that right now your money exists as something fictitious, something virtual. Do you really have dollars in your hands? And if you did, are they really worth something? It's just paper. And for most of us, it's not even paper. It's just a record in a computer. It's a digital record. It's not even real. And right now, while the system still works, because the banks are still open for business, and the dollar hasn't plummeted yet, and it hasn't hyperinflated yet, right now, you can exchange this fake currency, or what I call counterfeit money, because the Fed is counterfeiting this money every day. If you or I did what the Fed is doing, we'd be arrested for counterfeiting. The Fed does it, it's considered help somehow. All right, so it's counterfeit money. You can trade this fake money right now for things that are real. And that's going to be the emphasis of part of what we're doing here. Things that are real. I'm going to talk to you about physical things that are real, investments that are real, currencies that are real, things that you can do right now to convert money that could be lost into something that's real. Now you might ask, well, how much money should I convert into something that's real? And again, I will advise you that you should talk to your financial advisor about that. I'm not offering financial advice. However, to my own family and friends, my answer to that question is only convert whatever amount of money you don't want to lose. So if you have $100,000 in the bank, good for you. How much do you want to have left after this whole thing happens? The bailout or the non-bailout, the hyperinflation or the non-hyperinflation, the deflation that could happen. How much of that $100,000 do you want left? Well, if your answer is, well, I'd like to have $50,000 left, then that's how much you should convert into something that's real. Because the other $50,000, you might just kiss it goodbye. It can literally evaporate just like that overnight. It's happened throughout world history many, many times with many different nations. It can happen, and I believe it will happen here in the United States. Because I can see the writing on the wall. I can do the math. I can do the math of this country on a desktop calculator. You can do the numbers and you can figure out where it's going, and it's all going negative. There is not a positive financial outcome in the future of the United States America. And I believe, by the way, that we are witnessing, you and I, we are witnessing potentially the beginning of the end of the American empire. The financial collapse of the American empire began, I think, last week. It may play out for years. It's not like, oh, run before November 2nd. You know, it's not like that. It's not going to collapse in the next, you know, 2 minutes. It could play out for months. It could play out for years, maybe even a decade if they can keep stalling this and keep stealing money from the people. We don't know the timing, but we know the end result, that this system is doomed to collapse. Now let's talk about what we can do. Wait a minute, one more thing. Get this, in the bailout, look at the way your freedoms and your rights are being stolen. This is supposed to be a country of freedom that's ruled by the people, right? Section 8 of the new bailout legislation takes a dictatorship view of practically the entire economy. It says, quote, decisions by the secretary pursuant to the authority of this act, that's the Bailout Act, are non-reviewable and committed to agency discretion and may not be reviewed by any court of law or any administrative agency, period. What does that mean? It means the Fed takes over the entire country. It means the government, and remember, the Fed is really not part of the government, but they talk about it like it is. It means the government slash the Fed take over the entire economy. We instantly go from a free market economy to a centrally planned economy like a communist country. Instantly, just like that. Absolutely no review. Congress becomes irrelevant. That is what they're about to vote on, folks. That's how serious the situation really is. And right now, if you think about it, 50% of the homes in this country are owned by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, right? Owned by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Who owns Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? The United States government owns it as of 2 weeks ago. That means 50% of the homes in this nation are owned by the government. We now live in the largest public housing project in the world. This is a massive public housing project. This country. Amazing. And we got there in less than 2 weeks. The free market has been suspended. Short selling has been outlawed. It's been banned by the exchanges. This is the end of the free market, the end of the American empire as we know it. Now, I said this is about confidence, not about fear, because I believe that ending this system of corruption and fraudulent money and Fed control over the money supply, I think ending that system is actually a very positive thing. I think we need a new system where the money belongs to the people. Yeah, I think we need a new system where we take back our rights, where we have a new constitution that's actually honored, a new system where we have the rights to tell the truth about nutritional supplements or alternative medicine or naturopathic modalities for healing people. A new system is coming, folks. We'll talk about that in week 3. But let me get on to the practical things right now tonight about how you can convert your dollars into real things that really matter, that can hold value and be around here for a long time. All right, let's start with a couple of things. What can you trade your dollars for right now? Well, first, are you in debt? If you're in debt and you have some savings, that is, if you're in debt with a house, for example, and you also have some savings in the bank account, I would suggest you explore paying off your house as quickly as possible rather than having extra savings sitting out there. It's better to get out of debt and use your dollars right now to obtain ownership of the roof over your head. A house is real. It has real carpet, real windows. It really keeps out the rain, hopefully, if the roof is in good shape. A house is real. It has inherent value, and it will always have value no matter what happens to the banks. Land always has some value. And the more the land can produce things that are useful, such as food or water, the more valuable that land is. So investing in real land or investing in land that can produce food or water, then all of those things actually carry real value. And it would be a good idea to explore that and see how you can convert your paper currency or your fictitious dollar investments or bank accounts into things that are real. Land is one of them. And by the way, here's a huge tip. You can buy land out of your IRA, depending on who is the custodian of your IRA account. And I'm working on getting the exact process for you from some people who have done it. But I know a woman who bought land in Ecuador using her IRA account. So you can take your retirement account, which is undoubtedly going to be reduced in value, no matter if there's a bailout or not. You can use that retirement account to buy land in a safe haven location like Ecuador, but there are others, Panama, Costa Rica, you know, New Zealand, wherever you want to go, you can buy land with your retirement account. It is legal. It is being done right now by many people. And it's a way you can do that even if you feel like you're strapped for cash. You can still use your retirement account to do that. What are some other things that you can buy that are real? Well, one of them is long-term storable food. And as it turns out, food is something that has a tremendous amount of value regardless of what the bailout situation really is. And when I say food, I don't mean having a bunch of hot dogs lying around in the freezer. I mean things like organic quinoa. You can buy organic quinoa, and I will give you a lot more recommendations on exactly what to buy. But you can buy organic quinoa in these number 10 cans that are sealed, and it has a shelf life of easily 5 to 10 years. Quinoa is a complete protein. All you have to do is add water, boil it, and you have a meal. It's not a delicious meal unless you add something to it, like some sea salt or something along those lines, but it is a meal that will keep you alive, and it has inherent value. It's something that you could actually trade with people. It's something that you could live on. The place to get that is Walton Feed. That's waltonfeed.com, waltonfeed.com. You go there, they have a shopping cart where you can find their organic selection. They have organic products. Next week, next Wednesday, I'll be covering more products that you might want to consider buying from Walton Feed. But for right now, go there and you can see the quinoa, and it's in number 10 cans, which are kind of like large coffee cans. And it's not just a smart thing to do right now to buy real things with money that could become useless. It's also a very affordable way to buy quinoa. It's cheaper to buy it that way than it is to buy it at the grocery store. So I buy it there all the time just because I eat a lot of quinoa. That's where I get my quinoa. I don't go get it in plastic bags. I go get it in these number 10 cans, and they ship it to me six cans at a time via UPS. And that's what I do. All right, there are other things that you can get. Water filters are crucial. Water filters, portable water filters, hand-powered water filters. The brand I recommend, and I have a lot of experience with these filters, the brand is called Katadyn, K-A-T-A-D-Y-N, Katadyn. These are the water filters that work best. They are ceramic filters. They have a very long life. They can filter 10 to 15,000 gallons each. Just an incredible life on these filters. You can find them at a company called Emergency Essentials. The website for that is beprepared.com. That's B-E-P-R-E-P-A-R-E-D.com. Beprepared.com. Emergency Essentials. Just look for water filters there and pick up one of the Katadyn water filters. There are some other water filters I'll be recommending next week. You can even get some from Vitacost, but I've just found out they're out of stock. So I'll have some other places to recommend by next week where you can get them. There's one that's just a handheld water filter. It's like a water bottle. You can travel with that. It's very important to do this so that no matter where you are, if things go wrong in society, if air travel is suspended because the banks can't pay anybody, if the banks are down, the airlines are down, and you could just be stranded somewhere, you need some water. That's why you need a water filter. So it's great to get that. These are just some basic supplies. We'll talk more about those next week. Investing in knowledge is a good strategy. You can always take knowledge with you and skills as well. So if you can take some of your money and go learn a new skill with it, you know, go to massage school, learn how to massage, how to have a massage therapy practice, learn Chinese medicine, learn naturopathic medicine, learn soap making or bicycle repair or electronics repair. These are all based in reality. These are real things. There are a lot of people in New York right now in Wall Street who have skills in things that don't exist. Things like how to day trade stock options and deceive your clients. I mean, those are their skills, and they're really, really good at that. But what happens when the banks shut down or the stock market deflates? What happens? You know, then you don't have any kind of skills that are applicable in the real world. So think about the skills that you have and think about skills that you could acquire. And use your money right now to invest in more skills. Invest in learning. This is a strategy that's good for good times and bad times. It's always good to learn more. And skills that matter in the real world are very, very important. I know a person who is a member of the SCA, you know, the Renaissance Festival people, which are a really fun bunch, by the way. And this person practices something called siege cooking. And they make believe that their castle is under siege. And they run around the woods with these pots and they gather up food and they make a meal out of it. It's an incredible skill. And it's actually very, very useful because they can go out into anybody's yard and they can cook up a meal. That's a really good skill. I wish I had that skill. all I know to eat is, you know, dandelions and things like that. I don't really know how to cook a whole meal just running around in the forest. But these people do. That's a very good skill. Midwifery is a good skill. Ranch animal skills are also very, very useful. And of course, repair of anything that is needed in society. Think about what's going to be real. Think about the collapse of financial institutions. Think about the collapse of modern medicine. And yay for that, by the way. The collapse of medicine will be a good thing for the future of human civilization. All those people, though, who are involved in that system, the fraudulent cancer system, all that radiation and chemotherapy and all the drug reps and all the people running TV ads for the drug companies, those people are going to be out of jobs. You know, because if the government's broke, the drug companies get most of their money from the government, and they're not going to have incomes anymore. What are those people going to do? Well, the answer is, I don't know. They better go out and learn some siege cooking skills really fast. I used to be a pharmaceutical rep. Now I'm gathering dandelions. I'd love to see that. All right, next thing, gold. Let's talk about gold. Here I'm going to give you my personal gold dealer. All right, I've never given this out before. And I can only do it to a small number of people. So here it is. Get ready to write this down. The man's name is Gary Carlson. He is a true champion of freedom. He's a big-time Ron Paul supporter. He has a company called the Cody Coin Company. That's C-O-D-Y, Cody Coin Company. And he sells gold coins and numismatic coins, silver coins, at a very good price. And of course, I don't have any financial stake in this. I don't earn anything off of these sales. He sells them all at 1% over his cost, which is about 5.5% over the spot price for Buffalo coins and about 5% over spot for Eagles. But that can vary a little bit depending on market conditions. Here's how you contact Gary. And his assistant is named Richard. Gary and Richard are the most honest people that I've ever met in the gold industry. I absolutely trust them. You can trust them. They will get you what you order, and they will help educate you if they have the time to do that. And you can absolutely trust these people. Gary's email is aeicc@cs.com. I'll repeat that. A as in apple, E as in Eden, I as in what? Indigo, ccc@cs.com. That's like CompuServe.com. That's his email address. His phone number, Cody Coin Company phone number, is 307-527-6885. I'll repeat that again, 307-527-6885. Gary Carlson is an airline pilot. The airlines trust him with the lives of hundreds of people. He flies these Boeing 767s in Central American routes for an American airline company. And so he's very, very trustworthy individual. Now, he can help square you away with any kind of gold that you need. I'll talk about some strategies here of what makes sense if you want to get some gold. But first, let me just say, Gary's going to be busy after this event, so have some patience with him. You know, if you call, you're probably going to get his voicemail. Just leave a message, leave your number, be polite, and he will be happy to call you back and help get you squared away. What to buy? Well, the first question is, how much gold should you buy? Don't run out and just spend everything you've got on gold. That's not a good strategy. Most people who are investing something in gold are doing maybe 10 to 15, maybe 20% on the upper end of the amount of money that they're trying to protect. So if they have $100,000 in savings, they're thinking, well, I could buy maybe $10,000 worth of physical gold, maybe $15,000, on the high end, $20,000. We'll talk about other strategies here in a few minutes for what to do with the rest of that money that you're trying to protect. So why shouldn't you buy all gold? Well, because then you're putting it all in one basket. Literally, you're putting it in your house or wherever you're going to store it. The disadvantage with gold is that people can come steal it from you. And this is why if you buy gold, you shouldn't run around town bragging how much gold and silver you have. It's like painting a big target on your forehead that says, "Rob me, please come get my stuff." The second thing is to think about what kind of gold coins you want to buy. And I apologize if I'm talking quickly here. It's because we have so much to cover, and I want to make sure I get as much in here during this one-hour presentation, okay? So that's why I'm talking kind of fast. You will have an MP3 file emailed to you after this presentation, so you can listen to it again if you need to. So in terms of coins to purchase, It doesn't make sense to purchase gold in big 1 ounce coins. How are you going to trade that for something that you need? How are you going to buy a loaf of bread with a gold coin worth $2,000? You're not going to be able to do that. So one strategy is to buy 1/10 ounce gold coins, 1/10 of an ounce. And each of those coins might be worth, for example, right now, you know, $80, $90, even $100 if gold goes up a little bit more. So think about 1/10 ounce coins. Also think about silver coins, because silver coins are a lot less expensive. However, they get heavy. If you need to have like $10,000 worth of silver, it's actually a bit to carry around. The advantage of gold is that it's small, it's light, it's easy to carry. You can take it with you and you can hide it very easily. Now let's talk about hiding gold coins, and then we'll talk about confiscation of gold coins. Hiding gold coins is very easy to do. I actually interviewed a bunch of cops out here in Arizona because I was doing some weird project about writing a book. Anyway, long story. I interviewed them and I asked them, where do thieves go in your house? Where do they look for all the valuables? And the answer is always in your bedroom. Because people think that whatever is physically closest to them in the house is safest. And thus they put all their jewelry and all their money and all their wallets and all those things right there in their bedroom. And when a thief breaks into your house, that's the first place they go. Boom, right to your bedroom, and they just clean you out. So the first thing is don't put it in your bedroom. Some good places to hide things like that are inside large appliances. Literally, you take them apart, remove the front panel to your refrigerator door. And by the way, this is not stuff I talk about on the website for obvious reasons. But remove the front panel, stuff your gold coins inside the refrigerator, and then put the front panel back on. You can bet that a thief is not going to go rummaging through the panels of large appliances. They might look in your refrigerator, and that's another decent place to hide some things. You can have, you know, old jars of sauerkraut that look like they've been in there since 1972. And in the bottom of that jar of sauerkraut, there's a little bag with some gold coins in it. You know, that's a good place to hide some gold. Unless your thief is a kraut fan, they might go for it. But you get the point. Hide it in the panels of the large appliances. The drawbacks to that are, number one, there could be a fire, and you could lose your stuff, or it could melt or be damaged. Like if it's numismatic coins, it could be damaged. Number two, you might forget about it. Yeah, that's a big deal. So you have to make sure that someone else knows where you put your stuff. Maybe you suddenly get diagnosed with Alzheimer's and you can't remember your name. You're not going to remember where you put the gold coins. Of course, if you stay healthy, since you're a natural newsreader, if you stay healthy, you're not going to get Alzheimer's anyway, but you get my point. Make sure that someone you trust, a family member, knows where you hid your stuff. All right, that's all I'm going to say about that. That's hiding your gold. And why do you want to hide it? Again, because the minute you start using it, if times get tough and you actually need to use a gold coin, whoever you use it with is going to know you probably have more. So be very, very careful of how you use it. If you go out to buy something, you're flashing gold around, someone's going to follow you back home. And they're going to come get your gold if you make it easy for them to do so. And I know someone emailed me and talked about personal protection and weapons and that kind of thing. All I have to say about that, because this is not about self-defense, but my comment on that is don't buy a weapon that you don't know how to use. If you are a police officer and you can use firearms in a safe manner and you can make those life and death decisions, then go for it. You know, that's your defense of choice. But for everybody else, don't buy a weapon that you don't know how to use. Whether it's a firearm or a knife or a can of mace, you know, if you don't know how to use it, if you're not practicing using it, forget it. It's not going to be effective. All right, the question is about confiscation. What if the federal government passes a law and tries to confiscate all the gold and silver like they did in the past? This is what happened in the Great Depression. They literally made it illegal to hold gold and silver. Well, you know, in my opinion, that's an illegal law, and I personally would not just walk up to the government and hand them gold. And I think anybody that does that is crazy. But, you know, if you want to follow the letter of the law while they're ripping you off, go ahead. Give them all your gold and silver and, you know, see what happens. But I personally would not do that. So what if they already know you have gold and silver? Well, this is why you order from people that we trust, like Gary Carlson. Gary Carlson's not going to turn over his customer database to the federal government. He's not going to have a list of all the 1,000 people that bought gold. No way. That guy is not supporting, let's say, this current federal system anyway. I mean, he's a libertarian. He supports Ron Paul. He supports honest money, and we don't have a system based on honest money. So get your gold from sources that are not going to database you. You don't want your credit card, your name, and your address in some kind of gold company database, because that's where the government's going to go the minute they start to confiscate it. Got that? I hope this is all making sense, and I hope this isn't too scary. I'm not trying to scare you with any of this. This is just basic, practical things that you can do to protect yourself during these difficult times. And the U.S. government has a history of confiscating gold. They did outlaw gold before, and they confiscated it. Went house to house. Take your gold. And on that note, you should always have a little cache of gold and silver to give up in case they come to round up your gold and silver. So it's a decoy. You always have a little decoy stash of silver coins or low-value gold coins or coins that aren't really gold, but they're just painted gold, just enough to fool the people doing the confiscation, you know? You have a little cache of coins. And so that when they show up, you can act like you're complying with it. You can say, oh, yeah, here's my gold and silver. Take it. I'm a good citizen. I'm going to just give all my wealth to you guys. Take it. Yes. God bless America. Take my gold and send them away. But then, you know, you still have your real gold somewhere else. Now, some people might say, wait a minute, Mike, are you saying that we should go against federal law in that case? Let me just say this. I think that if they pass such a law, that is against the Constitution. That is against the law. That their law is illegal, not you. And it is not just your right, but it is your duty to stand against tyranny, to stand against illegal legislation and illegal actions by the executive branch of our government. So by not giving up your gold, you are, in fact, taking a stand for freedom. No honest government in the world would ever ask you to hand over your gold and silver. There's no reason that would ever be asked of you by any honest government. So the fact, if they ever ask for it, the fact that they are doing so is an indication that they are the criminals. All right, now let's talk about investing. Where can you put investment money? So you don't want to have all this physical gold lying around your house, and that's probably a good idea. So you want to invest your money. Are there safe places that you can invest your money right now based on the situation? And the answer is yes, absolutely. And it's the same thinking here, which is, where can you invest your money in things that are real? What's real? Now think about the companies out there. Which companies are involved in things that are real, that are physical? Once again, we come back to precious metals, and we come to the mining companies, and I'll talk about the environmental implications here in just a second, but the mining companies actually mine real things, right? They're actually extracting gold out of the hills, or silver, or titanium, or other precious metals that are useful. They have inherent value, not just by collectors, but also in industrial processes. So gold has inherent value as a commercial or industrial material. You know, you probably have cables hooked up to your hi-fi system at home that have gold connectors. And, you know, that's real gold. And that has inherent value. Pardon me, just had to get a drink there. So gold mining companies represent a way to protect yourself from the massive hyperinflation of the U.S. dollar, and here's why. Since gold is real, and gold will always have inherent value, if you invest in a gold mining company, even if the financial institutions fail, if the banks fail, if many other companies fail, the gold will still be valuable, and the gold mining companies will still be in operation. And furthermore, even though your investments are denominated in dollars in those gold mining companies, and I'll give you some companies here in just a second. Even though it's invested in dollars, so in other words, you're buying gold stocks with dollars, and the value of your stock is described in dollars, If the dollar hyperinflates, the value of your stock rises accordingly because gold is a real thing. So, for example, right now gold is at like under $1,000 an ounce. It's about $900 an ounce. And because the dollar still has some value right now, so you can trade dollars for shares in mining companies that are mining gold. Let's say the dollar inflates by a factor of 200%. It means the dollars that you have sitting around at home are worth half as much as they were. What will happen is that mining company stock will instantly, in response to that inflation, be worth twice as much. Approximately. It's not exactly a one-to-one correlation, but roughly it will be worth twice as much. So what you've done is you have insulated yourself against the hyperinflation of the dollar by investing in shares of gold mining companies that are engaged in the business of mining real metals out of the real ground. And this is true for platinum and silver mining companies and other similar types of mining operations. So this is one of the strategies. If the bailout passes in Congress, you should leap, in my opinion. Again, check with your financial advisor. That's my disclaimer, right? But in my opinion, you should very strongly consider investing in mining shares. Mining companies. And I'm going to give you some of the companies right here that Stephen Leeb recommends. He's with the Complete Investor that I've been recommending. Here are some of the companies. iShares Silver Trust. Symbol is SLV. SLV. Silver Wheaton. These are silver companies. Silver Wheaton is SLW. A gold company, Market Vectors Gold Miners, ETF. The symbol is GDX. G as in gold, D as in David, X. That's a gold fund. Another gold company is Goldcorp. The symbol is GG, as in gold, gold, GG. Another fantastic recommendation by Stephen Leeb that has already posted some strong gains and could post gains far higher, by the way, is ABX. That's A as in Apple, BX. B as in baby X. So ABX, Barrick Gold. And as a disclaimer, I should tell you I am invested in ABX because I follow Leeb's advice too. So I'm invested in it. And I think that those of us concerned about financial situation should consider these kinds of investments. Now, what about the environmental concerns of mining companies? This is a serious issue. I've looked into this. Mining companies that operate in the United States and Canada are subject to very stringent environmental regulations, which means that they cannot use mercury in their mining operations like they used to be able to do in the 70s. Now, in South America and Central America, they are still using mercury, and they're polluting rivers downstream from the gold mines. It's an environmental mess. But in the United States, they're not allowed to do that anymore. So the environmental implication is a lot less in the United States than it is in other countries. Still, mining is not an environmentally clean operation. Just, you know, from a big picture point of view, digging stuff out of the ground is not environmentally sound type of strategy. It's up to you to decide whether avoiding that environmental damage is worth you financially surviving this situation. From my point of view, I'm not going to support gold miners long term. I'm going to invest in those companies short term. I'm going to ride out the financial situation until most of the risk is over, and then I'm going to sell those companies because I don't want to support mining long term. After this is all over, I would put my money into renewable energy technologies. There is a company, and I don't recommend this company right now, but it could be right in a couple of years, and it's called Western Geopower Corp. And the market on that, let's see, Western Geopower Corporation. I don't have the symbol for you right now, but that company is in fact well positioned long term to generate. Oh, I'm sorry, the symbol is WGP. WGP as in Western Geopower. That will be a good buy long term, in my opinion, as there is more push towards renewable, sustainable green energies. However, in the short term, the more financial stress that is put onto states and municipalities and even the government, the more our nation is actually going to go to cheaper, dirtier energy sources. So oil and coal is going to dominate the energy market, I believe, for the near future, especially if there are financial hard times. Most states and most nations cannot afford renewable energy, wind energy, hydro energy, solar energy, because it's too expensive. So they're only going to really look at it during good times. And these are not good economic times. So 6 months ago, I would have said, yeah, invest in more renewable energy. Now I say mining is a much safer place to put your money. Just remember, there is risk in everything. There's risk in doing nothing. There's risk in putting it in mining companies. And what percentage should you put in a mining company or a collection of mining companies? Many people I know are doing another 15 to 20%, sometimes 25% of their savings, what they're trying to protect. They're putting it into mining companies. Now, there's a risk of a downside in all of this. Let's say that we're completely wrong about the bailout, that it's no big deal, that all this $700 billion just going to be paid off by Christmas because the shoppers are going to go out and buy all these Christmas goods and all these commercial retailers are going to have a windfall and they're going to pay taxes and the government's going to have all this money to pay off everything. Aren't we so happy? Yeah, if that happens, gold is going to drop in value. Absolutely. That's the risk. But you know, I think the chances of us having a good retail Christmas are as close to zero as they've ever been. I think this is going to be the worst retail Christmas ever. Well, except, you know, maybe pre-1900s. All right, speaking of Christmas and the retail sector, there are three waves of bankruptcy you need to know about. Three waves, because the second wave is upon us right now, and the third wave is coming. The first wave was the bankruptcy of homeowners. And that's what we saw over the last, let's say, 12 months. Homeowners going bankrupt because they couldn't meet the mortgage payments. That was wave number one. That cascaded. The domino effect then hit who? The lenders, the banks. So all that fake money, all that debt that was artificially created started to come due. And the financial institutions began to fail. And that's what we saw over the last few weeks. AIG, Lehman Brothers. You know, Warren Buffett bought, who do they buy today? Big corporation today. Goldman Sachs. Thank you. That's who they bought today. Warren Buffett's company, that is Hathaway, Berkshire, right? They bought Goldman Sachs today. I mean, we've had big, big failures happening all over Wall Street. That's wave two. Do you know what the third wave is going to be? I can tell you the headlines, what they're going to be by Christmas, or let's say in December and January, the third wave of bankruptcies is going to hit. And it, my friends, is going to be commercial bankruptcies, retailers. You are going to see widespread closings of retailers. And when that happens, I mean, we already saw it with Starbucks. We saw it with car companies, Chrysler's laying off tens of thousands of people. After this terrible Christmas season, you're going to see massive layoffs. And so it's going to further deepen the bad debt situation in the economy. And that's the third wave. And then there's a fourth wave of bankruptcies that comes after that. Care to take a guess what that's going to be? Well, in my view, hey, based on the research I've done, I think that's going to be bonds. Bond traders are going to start bailing out because the hyperinflation is going to kick in. And that decreases the value of bonds. And then bond traders start looking for other things to invest in, such as gold. So gold will go up, bond values will go down, and then the fifth wave will be international finance. That is, when China looks at the hyperinflation, and the central banks in the Middle East look at the hyperinflation of the U.S. dollar, they're going to start running for other currencies. They're going to say, this is crazy. Why are we buying debt from this bankrupt country? Why are we doing that? In fact, we saw this in the news today. China is already suggesting that the U.S. be removed from its dominant position in the global financial markets. They don't want the U.S. to be running the global finance system anymore. They want the dollar out of the picture. Why? Because the U.S. is not being a responsible steward of the dollar. And thus, it is creating economic chaos all around the world. And in fact, China is absolutely correct about this particular observation. The U.S. is not being responsible. Rather than protecting the value of the U.S. dollar, rather than protecting the debt that it has sold to other countries, it is doing its best to hyperinflate the dollar, thereby reducing the value of the debt that other countries hold. In other words, someday when China comes to the U.S. and says, pay back all this money we loaned you, the U.S. is going to say, okay, here, we'll pay you back in dollars that are worthless. And so there's a point that's going to come very soon when China says, we're not willing to buy any more debt. The U.S. is bankrupt. We're not going to keep buying your debt. And at that point, the question becomes, is the U.S. too big to fail? That's the big global question. Is the U.S. too big to fail? Will the international community bail out the United States of America? Do you think they will? I don't. No way. They'll let it fail because it's in the interests of the other countries to let the American empire fail so that they can fill the vacuum and they can take that power in the global system, the global power arena, so to speak. All right, I know we just covered a lot there. I think Stephen Lee would have taken 6 hours to tell you all that stuff. But I'm trying to get you high-density information here. It's like nutritional supplements. Get the most density you can. All right, next, what about the euro? People say, hey, we should invest in the euro. I disagree. The euro is not safe. It's too closely tied to the U.S. dollar. When the U.S. dollar falls, it is my opinion that the euro is also going to fall in value. So I don't think that it's safe to invest in the euro. Where can you invest in currencies that are insulated from the fall in the value of the dollar? Here's the answer. There's a bank, an online bank called EverBank. It is FDIC insured, which may or may not mean anything long term, but for the moment, it's FDIC insured. It has a currency fund called the Debt-Free Currency Fund. Write that down, Debt-Free Currency Fund. This is a fund that invests in the currencies of about a half a dozen countries that have no debt. No debt. Think about that. And the way you get there is this, www.everbank.com/campaigns, plural, that's campaigns with an S, /portfolios, that's also plural, /debtfree.htm. And I will email you that web address just so that you get that. You can go there or you can just search for it. Just go to everbank.com and search for their debt-free currency fund. You could easily justify putting another 20% of your portfolio in those kinds of currency funds. But again, check with your financial advisor because I am not a financial advisor and I'm not pretending to be one. And remember, there is risk in every investment, including this one. There's a risk that EverBank could fail. There's a risk that the FDIC wouldn't be able to bail them out and you could literally lose your entire account. But, you know, think about where's your money right now? You could lose that account too. You could lose it even if the bank doesn't fail, because if the dollar hyperinflates, you lose the value of your dollar. All right. Think about ways to invest in companies that will be around after the crash. That's the bottom line. If you're buying stocks, if you're investing in the stock market, think about what those companies do and whether that will be successful in a post-crash economy. And by crash, I mean failure of the financial institutions or, if they're rescued, the hyperinflation of the U.S. dollar. This is going one of two ways, folks, as I see it. It's either financial failure or hyperinflation, one or the other. Gold happens to work in both cases. Gold holds your value. It may even increase your value in both cases. Many companies do not work in that situation. For example, Starbucks. The first thing that people give up when times get tough is their luxury coffee. And that's why Starbucks is already shrinking. Yep, shrinking. All right, a couple other things I want to get across to you here. And we still have about 7 minutes left in this section before we go over to the Q&A. One of those is that, you know, you can always get a safe haven in another country if you think things are going to get really crazy here in the U.S. However, I don't want to advocate that you just flee the country. You know, you can be safe right where you are, assuming you have basic health preparedness covered. And we will talk about that next Wednesday. So food and water, just basic preparedness, first aid kit, your herbal first aid kit. You have a little bit of gold, a little bit of silver. You have some medicines, you know, natural medicines around the house. You have some herbs, some organic storable quinoa. Sea salt is a big thing to have. Potassium iodide or other forms of iodine you know, first aid types of materials. You have those around the house, and you have enough water stored that in case there's an infrastructure failure, you're not dependent on the National Guard to come save you. If you can have that kind of situation, then stay right where you are. And because not everybody can leave the country, and I'm not recommending that you leave the country. You can stay right where you are, and you can be perfectly safe if you prepare. And by the way, by preparing for this situation, you will also be prepared for a hurricane, an earthquake, a tornado, a civil unrest, whatever you need to prepare for. You got to have food, water, water filter. You got to get your organic food bars in there too. You got to have some organic stored food along the way. While you're watching satellite TV and watching the financial systems implode, you can be chewing on, you know, raw cacao and having a great time. So don't freak out about it. Just get prepared and you'll be just fine. But if you want to go somewhere else, you know, I've been talking about Ecuador, and I think Ecuador is the best place to go. I know George Green has been talking a lot about Ecuador. That guy scares me. When I listen to George Green, I get freaked out. I'm like, gee, these are some crazy times. But you can buy land in Ecuador with your IRA, as I mentioned before. And the person to contact there in the community where we have lots of Natural News readers now, already 4 Natural News readers have bought land in this ranch. We are building a conscious community there of people who are into organic foods and healing and all that. It's an amazing group. The person to email about that situation is Joe Simonetta. And his email is Joe, J-O-E, Simonetta, S-I-M-O-N-E-T-T-A. It's just like Joe Simon with an etta on the end. So Joe Simonetta at gmail.com. Ask him about what's available there. There are some properties that are still good that are available, but they won't be available for very long because it's only a 650-acre ranch, and pretty soon all the land is basically going to be gone. It's like 80% gone right now. Just contact him, ask what's available. If you want to go down there and check it out, you can do that. And you can even visit the garden that I helped build down there, which is a really great garden. Other places to go are Panama, Costa Rica, even Canada, I think, is going to do better than the United States. But again, if you want to stay here in the U.S., go for it. You can be safe and sound right here at home by preparing in advance. All right, another thing to recommend is Stephen Leeb's TheCompleteInvestor.com. That is TheCompleteInvestor.com. If you're not already subscribed, go there and sign up. I think it's only $69 a year or something in that range. You can get his basic newsletter. Most of the information I gave you here tonight from information that he first introduced to me is only available through his higher priced newsletter, which is about $1,000 a year. So think about that right here. I mean, you spent $39 to participate here, and I'm giving you information that would normally cost $1,000 to be tuned into. So I hope you agree that this is a good value. Also, just by going to Gary Carlson with the gold, you're going to save a lot of money. You could save thousands of dollars on purchasing gold just by going to Gary Carlson. And he's the person that I trust personally. He's a personal friend of mine. And he's a great citizen, a real champion for freedom. He's a libertarian-minded kind of guy. And he really believes in the power of the people and honest money and getting the Fed out of the picture, getting the fractional reserve banking system squared away so that we can return to honest money. Finally, a couple other comments here, and we're coming up right on the hour, is find innovative ways to earn more money. You don't have to just sit back and protect your money. You can find ways to earn more money, good ways, innovative ways. First of all, join my list if you're not already on it, the Mindful Wealth email list. You can find a link to that. You can subscribe for free. Go to naturalnews.com and look for it in the top right-hand side of the website. And you can subscribe to that for free. I'll be bringing you some money-making ideas with that. You can also eBay your stuff. Go around your house and ask yourself, do I really need that stuff? And if you don't need it, eBay that stuff. Sell it on eBay, get some fake money for it, and then convert the fake money into something real. So you could take that old I don't know, television with a VCR in it. You could sell it for $100 and then you could trade that for $100 worth of gold. And that would be a much better thing to have around than an old television with a VCR in it. And folks, sell the boat, okay? You don't need that boat. I guarantee you, you don't need that boat. If you have a boat parked in your driveway right now, or an RV, or a camper, I'm willing to bet you don't need it, really. If things get tough, let that go. Sell it now before things get too tough, okay? And by the way, we have a lot of questions coming in. That is the hour of the information that I wanted to be sure to share with you here. Now we're going to go right to the questions. And these are questions that came in live. Thank you in advance for all of your questions. Is this the first one right here? Okay. All right, here we go. Okay, going right to the question. Lieb recommends these stocks. The question is, what do you think of the gold shares GLD that are exchange-traded fund? And each share represents 1/10 of an ounce of gold, and the metal is stored for you. Also, what do you think about mutual funds that invest in gold? That's fine. They're recommended by Lieb. However, that's Stephen Lieb. However, if I own gold, I don't want someone else holding it for me. Because, you know, if things get crazy, they might decide that they own it. Possession is 90% of ownership. Remember that. So take possession of the gold if you own it. That's my advice. Just have creative ways to protect it. Also, gold mutual funds, yeah, that's fine, but just be sure to diversify. And I think mining companies are more insulated against hyperinflation than gold mutual funds. Again, check with all of your financial advisors before making any decisions like that. Okay, next question. The average Joe doesn't have $100,000 in savings or IRAs or anything. We're living week to week. What are we supposed to do to protect our dollars? Well, I have good news for you. You are free, man. you have a lot less stress than the people who are trying to protect their stuff. What I think you can focus on is basic preparedness, which is being healthy, having water and food around, having skills, making sure that you build up your skill set, and just wait for things to happen. There will be fantastic opportunities for you in the next society. I call it the next society. That's whatever happens after the collapse of the current society that we know of. In the next society, you can be part of helping to create a better world for future generations. You know, if you don't have a bunch of dollars sitting around, don't sweat it. Just make sure that you stay healthy, keep some kind of income coming in, and work to reduce your consumption so you can have a little bit of savings set aside. Also, learn how to live on the cheap. You know, I know how to live on the cheap. I've been there. I've done that. I've been dirt poor, sleeping on a bed without a blanket because I couldn't afford a blanket. I mean, I've been there. And, you know, you got to learn how to live on the cheap. You know, camp out in the yard. It's really not an exaggeration. In the Depression era, people camped out. They lived in tents. In fact, my ancestors lived in tents. That's where my family came from, was extreme poverty. They lived in tents and they worked at ridiculously low wages. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. If you can survive and learn some skills, then you can thrive in the next society. The important thing is to just not lose money if you have it saved. If you have some money existing right now, try not to lose it. All right, another question. What about those of us who don't have a lot of money under 20K in liquid assets? What should we do with the 20K? Well, I think, again, you can follow about the same percentage strategy. But again, check with your financial advisor on this. That's my disclaimer. But if I were you, if I had 20K in savings, I'd get maybe $1,000 to $2,000 in physical gold. Protect that in a very safe way. Buy 1/10 ounce gold eagles from Gary Carlson. I would put maybe another couple thousand dollars in some gold mining stocks. I'd put another couple of thousand dollars in the Everbank currency fund. I'd buy a good water filter, a good pair of shoes, you know, some long-term storable food. And I would sit back and read a lot of books and learn all kinds of skills. That's what I would do. The more you learn, the better future you're going to have no matter what happens. All right, would you recommend liquidating stocks right now and placing money in the banks? And by the way, thank you, all of you, for sending in these questions. And it would be, we've had questions here from Sherry and Diane and Tanya, Tom, George, Jennifer, many, many different people. Todd, Carol, thank you all for sending in your questions. Would I liquidate stocks right now and place it in a bank? No, I would look carefully at what stocks you have and decide which ones of those have a good chance of being around in the future. Having money in a stock in a company that produces something real is actually a good strategy. What's real? You know, I guess an engine is real. Transportation is real. There are things that are real that are worth investing in. But it's a good time to take a look at those companies and ask yourself, how are those companies going to do at Christmas time? When consumers stop buying, as they're going to do, and this is going to become big news after Thanksgiving. Trust me on this. I can already see the headlines. I don't normally claim to have a crystal ball, but this one is as clear as day. Christmas buying down, consumer confidence dropping, and it's going to be a bad Christmas season. Think about the companies you're invested in and if they're going to be hurt by a bad Christmas season. And if they are, then I would recommend getting out of those companies and doing, you know, putting that money somewhere that's going to be a whole lot safer. All right, next question. Should you convert your U.S. dollars to another currency? If so, what currency do you suggest? Well, we already answered that question, and that's the debt-free currency fund with EverBank. It is a collection of different currencies, and that's a great way to insulate yourself from the hyperinflation of the U.S. dollar. And in my view, that is the main risk here, that the U.S. dollar is bound to hyperinflate. In my opinion, we should be fleeing the U.S. dollar, absolutely fleeing the dollar. But when this whole thing comes crashing down, you don't want to be left holding the dollars. Because if you are, you're going to lose them. You're going to lose the purchasing power, in my opinion. I mean, I could be wrong about that. If aliens show up and hand over all kinds of gold to Washington, if Martians fly in from all over the universe and they're bringing loads of gold, and they say, we're going to bail you out, you know, all the little grays, then we could be saved by that. But barring that scenario, we're not going to be saved. The U.S. dollar is going to be hyperinflated. So convert it into some other vehicle that holds some value. All right, what would you recommend? Well, these are all the same questions, just different dollar amounts. So folks, whether you have $20,000 or $100,000 or $200,000, then you still need to think about percentages, and you need to work with your financial advisors on that. So think about percentages. 10 to 15% in physical gold, perhaps. Another 10 to 20% in gold mining stocks would be something to consider. Another 10 to 20% in currency funds, so that you're invested in other currencies. Convert quite a bit into physical things that have value that you can actually keep around your house. I don't mean to load up. Don't stock your house full of bicycle parts. I mean things that are valuable and portable. Water filters are a great thing. Everybody needs a water filter, especially when the workers at the municipality walk away from the water treatment plant. You can bet everybody needs a water filter at that point. Everybody needs a pocket knife. You know what I mean? Everybody needs an LED headlight. There's some basic things that you can get. And everybody needs to eat and drink, and they all need toilet paper. So think about that. Toilet paper is actually a very valuable thing to have. Next question. What is your take on Bush's plea to fry the American people with the possible bailout package? Well, I think, you know, Bush, McCain, Obama, Paulson, I think they all are completely clueless. They have no idea what they're doing. They don't understand the economy. They can't do the math. None of them can do the math. And they are all going to make sure that you go bankrupt before they do. That's the bottom line. They're going to bail out their rich friends in Washington while letting you foot the bill. That's what's going on. In fact, you could say they're rearranging the chairs on the deck of the Titanic, but what they're really doing is they're deciding who gets drowned first. They're deciding who gets the life rafts. And the life rafts, the lifeboats, are going to their rich, wealthy, elite banker friends in Washington. So I think that these actions are the last desperate efforts by the leaders of a failed empire, literally a failed empire. Its days are numbered. The economy is going down, and if you want to go down with it, just Just follow what all the instructions that they tell you on TV. Just do what they tell you to do. Keep your money in the bank. Don't flee the dollar. Don't buy gold. Just keep your money in the bank. Yeah, you'll be fine. And you can remember that as you're sucking up water on the way down with the Titanic. Here's a question from my friend Kevin Gianni. Renegade Health Show. You got to check that out. Renegade Health. Kevin Gianni asks, any ideas when you think the banks will close up? Or should we be processing credit cards and depositing that one? What are you talking about? Okay, should the banks close? Well, the banks, it depends on the bailout package. If the bailout package passes, the banks won't close, but there'll be hyperinflation. If the bailout package fails, then the banks could close, and then deposits and money market funds would all be at extreme risk, because the FDIC is down to its last $43 billion in reserves. And if one more big bank fails, the FDIC is broke. Then the FDIC is going to be bailed out by the federal government, right? And the federal government is now $10 trillion in debt. Who's going to bail out the federal government? That's the question. Like I said, if aliens come do it, then we're saved. We should all pray for the aliens to come with their UFOs loaded with gold so we can bail out the rich bankers in Washington. what do you think the odds are of that? All right, it appears, another question, it appears that the government could use the imminent financial collapse to usher in martial law. If we want to leave, where are the best places to go? Well, martial law will absolutely be declared if there's a financial collapse of the banking system, because there will be riots in the streets, and they'll have to declare martial law. And in fact, there's rumors they've already moved one of the divisions of the army here in the U.S. and start training for civil unrest. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's a fun rumor. In any case, civil unrest is definitely a possibility if the banks are allowed to fail. If the bailout package passes, however, the banks probably won't fail. There probably won't be civil unrest, and there won't be martial law. There will just be the greatest theft of dollars that's ever taken place in the history of the world. That's the massive sucking sound, which is the stealing of your dollars out of your pockets into the bank accounts of Washington bureaucrats and their rich banking friends. That's what's most likely going to happen. The truth is, in my opinion, my opinion is that I don't think that there's any motivation to just round up people and put them in concentration camps. And, you know, there are internet rumors about that all over the place. I happen to think that the powers that be in this world have a pretty good scam going right now. Their scam is to make people think they're free. And they let these people go to work, and they work their 9-to-5 jobs, and they think they're free, but all they're working for is the bankers. All they're working for is to pay the interest on their home loans and to pay the interest on their credit card debts. And the people think they're free. That is the greatest scam, or the most brilliant but evil scam, that's ever been created in the history of the world. Why would they want to mess with that scam? Why would they want to round up people and take them away from their productivity? They want the slaves. Remember, the wage earners in this country are the slaves. They want the slaves working. That's how you get productivity. That's how you take money from them, is you make them work, and then you take money from them in terms of their taxes and by printing new money, which steals the value of the money those people earned. You don't make money off the slaves, that is us, the wage earners. You don't make money off the slaves by rounding them up and putting them in a camp where they're not productive. So I disagree on this point with folks like Alex Jones, who I respect. I respect Alex Jones' views on this, but I disagree. I don't think this is going to be a big roundup of all the population. They want you to keep on working. Keep punching that clock. That's how they make their money. So no incentive to round people up. All right, another question. Do you think strengthening our farmers by legalizing hemp for fuel, food, etc., would strengthen the economy and bring jobs back to America? Well, of course, absolutely. Canadian farmers can grow hemp, and then we buy all the hemp from Canada, and we make hemp clothing out of it and hemp seeds for superfood products and all that. And so the Canadian farmers are doing just fine. They're getting a lot of financial reward for that. Of course, American farmers should have agricultural freedom to be able to farm this industrial hemp, which is not a drug. You can't smoke industrial hemp unless you really desire to just vomit. And I'm not saying I've tried that, since I haven't, but the reports are that if you try to smoke that stuff, it's not a drug. You don't get high from it. So why is hemp being outlawed in this country? It's because of the cotton industry. The same reason that the aspartame industry has kept the FDA banning stevia. They don't want stevia to be legalized because it competes with aspartame. They don't want hemp to be legalized because it competes with cotton. This is nothing about drugs. This is all 100% about politics. Okay, my question is, what's your opinion of investing in the Swiss franc since it is historically stable and highly correlated with the value of gold? Okay, well, it's part of the EverBank debt-free currency mix, actually, that I already recommended. So I think you should diversify any investment in foreign currencies and not just go with one, not just say, oh, I'm going to put 30% in the Swiss franc. Actually diversify. So check out that fund. It's the debt-free currency fund with EverBank, and that's everbank.com. But that's a great question, by the way. A great question. Another question, is Hawaii going to be better than the mainland? Well, I think Hawaii is already better than the mainland, but I think you mean, is it going to be safer? Well, if you think about the collapse of financial power in Washington, what you're really looking at is a very rapid decentralization of power over the country. When you have any kind of collapse of centralized control over any nation, you get, of course, a balkanization of those separatist-minded states. And this is what we've seen throughout Europe in recent history, the 80s, the 90s, and so on, the balkanization of Europe. This is what we saw with the revolution in Russia. We've seen this historically throughout the world. Well, Hawaii is already poised as a state that wants to separate. It wants to declare its own independence, or at least half the voters there do. So if there is a loss of centralized power in Washington, what I see as a very distinct possibility is that states like Hawaii and probably Vermont also would secede from the Union. They would declare their own independence and begin to run their own economies, which would be a very interesting thing to see happen. It would, of course, weaken the United States as a whole, but it would perhaps usher in a new era of freedoms for those independent regions that have the courage to announce their own independence. Hawaii is able to do it perhaps more than anyone else because of its geological features. I mean, it's surrounded by ocean, so it would be very difficult for mainland USA to go invade Hawaii, a lot more difficult than just driving National Guard troops across a state line. You know, you're not going to see Ohio declaring its independence anytime soon. Not going to happen. And I can't tell you whether I'm for or against Hawaii declaring its independence. I think Hawaii is a great resource, a wonderful state, and I hope those people there do get their freedom one way or another. All right, Ecuador uses the dollar for its currency. I hope you're enjoying these questions, by the way. Thanks for sending them. What about Ecuador using the dollar for its currency? If the U.S. dollar loses its value, how will Ecuador be affected? The answer to that is that Ecuador will migrate to its own new currency. The president of Ecuador is Correa, and Correa was actually a university professor at the University of Illinois, and he was an economics professor, and he understands free market economics, and he doesn't really like the United States that much, especially when the value of your currency keeps dropping because the parent country, that is the U.S., is inflating the currency and devaluing the purchasing power. So what's happening is that there are already trade imbalances between Ecuador and its neighboring nations, most notably Peru, that need to be rebalanced and addressed. And the only way to do that long term is for Ecuador to adopt either its own currency or to embrace a new South American currency, kind of like a South American euro. However, even that would be a threat because any South American currency would likely not be tied to a gold standard, which means the ability of South American leaders to hyperinflate that currency would also be very tempting. In other words, they could just print more money and do the same thing there that we're doing in the United States. The truth is, no currency is ever safe when a politician's in charge. That's the bottom line. No currency. Doesn't matter what currency we're talking about. All right, what's the next question here? Where do we go? Okay, Steve from Utah. Hey, Steve. He says, can you tell me if there are chemtrails in Ecuador? No, but there's a lot of pollution on the main roads because cars don't have any kind of regulations about emissions. So forget the chemtrails, just try to hold your breath when you're driving down the road. Getting through the cities is a bit of a challenge because of that, but once you get to the ranches or the farms or out in the country, it is beautiful. It is pristine. Absolutely fantastic. Next question, do you have any recommendations for land in the U.S. for growing food? Yes, I do. What you want to do is get as close to the equator as you can, which brings up Hawaii again. Growing food needs to be done year-round unless you're really into canning and storing and eating, you know, frozen foods, which is not a very enjoyable way to eat. So you got to be able to grow food year-round, and the only place in the United States of America to do that right now, well, a couple of places, like Ojai, California, that valley in California. There is, of course, there are certain sections of Florida that are good, but there's a big hurricane risk. There's also a rising ocean waters risk in Florida. There are a few places in California other than Ojai, some certain valleys where you can grow foods year-round. But then aside from that, it's all Hawaii. And if you can get over to Hawaii, you don't even need that much land. You can feed a family off of, you know, a quarter of an acre if you practice square foot gardening or do some really high-density garden techniques. You can grow all kinds of food in a very small amount of space. So it's a good time to acquire some land, and the good news is that prices are down. Prices are down. They could fall even further. There could be another 30% or so drop in land and housing prices. However, given the financial situation we're facing, I still think it is a very good time to trade dollars for usable land, especially if you can grow food on that land. When you think about land, it's also very important to think about the water supply. Where are you going to get water for your plants? How are you going to grow your food? Where are you going to get the water? If you need to drill a well, then you need to be thinking about a solar-powered well pump so that you can get water out of the ground without using electricity that depends on the infrastructure. That's very, very important. In Ecuador, I'm going to attach a bicycle to a well pump down there so you can actually pedal water out of the ground. How's that sound? Pedal your way to water. That should be the name of a book. Okay. Next question. Out of all the investment ideas that you have mentioned tonight, what investments and strategies do you participate in yourself? Aha, good question. I do all the things that I mentioned to you, except I don't hide my gold in my refrigerator, because otherwise I wouldn't have told you that, because I don't want people robbing my house and getting gold in my refrigerator. I don't have anything in my house, folks. It's not here. I'm not going to make it that easy for you. So I do all these strategies. I don't have a huge amount of savings, but I do own a software company, and I've been financially successful in that realm, even though Natural News has never made any real profits, barely breaks even, in fact. But I've made money in software, and I've done all of these strategies to protect it. But you know what I've done the most? I've traded dollars for land. That's what I've done the most. Land is forever. As long as you can hold title to that land and live on it, and have good relations with your neighbors, and have a good relationship with the local community, so that they're not going to run you off of that land, then you're going to be relatively safe from all kinds of problems in the world. So land, I think, is first. Have a roof over your head. Have land that produces real food. And by the way, South American land or Hawaiian land can produce avocados and papayas and even neem oil. And you know what else you can do? You can buy an oil press for just a couple of $1,000s. You can grow canola and you can press your own biodiesel. You could actually grow your own fuel. How's that sound? I think it's like 160 gallons of fuel per acre of canola. I almost said granola. No, it is canola. 160 gallons of fuel per acre. That's a lot of diesel. So you can just press your own diesel fuel right there. You can be almost entirely self-sufficient. And by the way, we can also set up ways in Hawaii or South America or Central America to grow your own biodiesel using microalgae. And I intend to work on some of that in the future. Have these microalgae ponds, and you're just using sunlight and a little bit of food that you're feeding them to grow biodiesel in ponds. Imagine that. All right, next question. What about credit card debt? Since it has no real value, should we pay it down like a house mortgage? Or should you pay off the house? Or should you pay off the credit card? Well, of course, you should pay off the house with the credit card. That's the answer right there. No, seriously, pay off the house first because it's real. Even though the credit card debt may be a higher interest rate. And again, your financial advisor may tell you the exact opposite. And that's fine. Listen to them. But I'm saying pay off the house first and then your credit card debt second, because the house is real and it's very important to have title to your house. More important, in fact, than paying down your credit card debt. The best way to pay down your credit card debt, by the way, is to reduce your consumption of things that you put on your credit card. It's a good idea to just really make a habit of reducing the amount of luxury items in your life, things that you don't really need but you just want. I see people that spend thousands of dollars on shoes, and I think, what are you thinking? What are you doing with that? With shoes? You know, there are things that you really don't need. You know, so think about that. Think about what you really do need and what you really don't need. Next question, moving on. When the dollar gets hyperinflated, what will happen to our mortgage debt? Ah, great question. This is actually working in your favor, because if your mortgage debt is at a fixed interest rate, and this is a very important point, if it's at a fixed interest rate, like let's say 6.5% or 7%, then you will be able to pay back your mortgage debt with increasingly cheaper dollars. Yeah, think about that. The bad news, though, is that you might lose your job because the whole economy is going down. But if you can keep your job, or if you can keep earning dollars in some way, then you'll be able to pay off your house probably more easily. For example, if you work, let's say you work for a local city, and let's say the city gives you raises adjusted for inflation. They would have to start paying you more and more money each week to make up for the inflation of the dollar. And yet, the amount that you owe your mortgage company is the same. It's a fixed dollar amount. Let's say it's $1,000 a month. So you only have to pay your mortgage company $1,000 a month no matter what, even if the dollars are cheaper and easier to come by. The ramifications of this, of course, are huge, which is that all these mortgage companies would then go broke again. You see how this ripples through the whole system. And in fact, this brings up the point of what the United States government is trying to do to pay off its international creditors. It is trying to hyperinflate the currency so that it can pay off China and Middle Eastern banks and Japan's central banks with increasingly cheaper dollars. That is how every nation throughout world history has paid off debt that it couldn't handle. It has simply hyperinflated the currency, created money out of nowhere, and used it to pay off all the creditors, thereby stealing productivity or stealing purchasing power from the people. And gee, do you know anybody in Washington right now who may be creating money like, let's say, $700 billion? Ring a bell? That is the sound of hyperinflation. It's happening right now. I can't believe they're actually debating it right now, today. All right, the other question is, can we keep our mortgage house, or will it be taken from us in the event of hyperinflation? No, your house won't be taken from you. No, if you have title to your house, you are fine. The key is to get out of debt as much as possible, and so you can have title to your house. If there's hyperinflation, there's no reason that they would take your house unless you start taking out too much money on your house as a home loan, and the house price falls. So if the housing market really falls and your house becomes worth less and less, the bank could come back to you and ask for you to pay the difference between what your house is worth and how much you owe. For example, if you owe $500,000 on your house, and good for you, that's probably a really nice house, then let's say the market drops and it's only worth $250,000. But you owe $400,000 on your house. Well, now the bank is going to come to you and say, wait a minute, your house is only worth $250, you owe $400, you got to pay us $150 just to even things up. And they can do that. That's called, I don't know the proper term for it, but it's kind of a partial recall on the loan. And they can absolutely do that. It's written right into the banking contracts. Okay, question. You only named two ways to earn more money. What are the rest? Well, I'm going to be covering those in week 3. This week is focused on really how to protect your money. That's why we've talked about investments, gold, currencies, things to buy. And then in the next week we're going to talk about health preparedness, and then the week after that we're going to talk about more ways to earn more money. But I will give you this. The main key here is in looking at ways to earn more money, it is very important that you minimize any investments. So don't go out and buy a franchise restaurant where you got to put $50,000 out there. That's more of a 10-year type of payoff. You're not going to get that back in a year. You need to do things in terms of earning money to explore things that can make you money next week. Those are the kinds of things that I advocate. And I'm a big advocate of really reducing upfront expenditures so that you don't put any more money into a business venture than you have to. And I know Kevin Johnny's laughing right now because he and I launched Health Book Summaries. You can see that at healthbooksummaries.com, and we haven't made a dime, and we put thousands of dollars into it buying the rights to summarize these books from publishers, and we have yet to break even on it. So that was not a real great idea in terms of the outlay of cash, but I know it's a great service for all of you, and maybe someday we'll actually make some money with that. But don't do that yourself. Go out and do something that requires less investment up front. And by the way, go to healthbooksummaries.com to download book summaries today. That's my little plug right there. Next question. As a mother, I am concerned about how people will react when they are desperate for food, water, and money. Well, yeah, I am too. People kind of freak out when their world gets rattled. In your opinion, when do you think families should begin considering moving to low population areas? Oh, well, yesterday. I mean, that's one of the biggest threats, is living in a high population area. Cities can become death zones in any kind of infrastructure failure, whether it's government employees walking off the job at the local water plant, or the lack of supply lines being able to bring coal to the local power plant, or a failure of the medical system. Maybe there's some outbreak of some infectious disease. Whatever. Cities are the death zones because of the population density, because of the logistical difficulties of bringing so many materials and so many resources to all of those people. Cities should be avoided. It is safer and cheaper to get outside the city. You don't have to be way out in the country. I mean, you can buy land really cheap way out in the middle of the swamps in Florida. But you don't have to go to that extreme. You just need to be out of the really dense central cities. Like New York City, I know it's a great city. You know, it's for many reasons, it's great. It's great when it works, but when it doesn't work, it sucks. You know, there was a power outage there a couple of years ago, the Eastern Seaboard power outage. And, you know, New York, they partied for the first few hours, and then they realized that they're all screwed. It's like, what are we going to do now? The party's over, the lights are off, the water's not running, what do we do now? Well, luckily they were saved, the lights came back on, but if it had been another 48 to 72 hours, it would have been mayhem. It would have literally been, you know, everybody just trying to protect their own lives and get water and get food and get medicine, and that would not have been a pretty sight. That's where martial law would be declared in those kinds of situations. Wow, we've answered a lot of questions so far, but we still have more coming. What do you think the next one is here? Right in here? Okay, did you say that we're going to address how to purchase land in Ecuador with retirement funds? Yes, I'm going to have to email that to you because I don't have the exact answer yet, but I'm getting information about that from people who have done it, and I'm more than happy to share that with you. I'll be emailing that to you along with the download information for these links, and then I'll get that to you as quickly as I can. And okay, we're almost out of time. It's been it's already half an hour of Q&A. I'm going to answer just a couple more here and then wrap this up because I know we all have things to do. At which point do you recommend we hightail it out of here to Central or South America once you see the economy collapsing, or what? What do you recommend? Well, that is something that requires keeping a very close eye on the situation. We got to watch this bailout situation right now. If this bailout is successful, it's a very different prediction then of what's going to happen versus if the bailout doesn't pass. And I will keep you informed on that the best I can. I'll give you the analysis of it based on what actually happens in Washington. And it could be a very serious situation. It could be that you need to get out of here pretty soon if you want to avoid the real civil unrest. On the other hand, it could be, you know what? This is not going to be a collapse and there's not going to be riots. It's just going to be a long, drawn-out 20-year depression, kind of like the collapse of Japan's economy in 1989, which even today, real estate in Japan is down 50% from 1989, almost 20 years later. Think about that. That could happen in the U.S. So there are a couple of different routes to what could happen, and I'll do my best to give you my analysis, but ultimately, you gotta keep your eyes open, and there are going to be risks in any decision. You know, you could be too early, you could be too late, you could be wrong about what's going to happen. The U.S. might actually be fine in terms of, you know, riots and civil unrest and things like that. Okay, one more question, and then we're going to wrap this up. What are the pros and cons of buying land to grow food in the U.S. versus somewhere in Central or South America? Well, the main situation to consider is the cost of labor and the access to water. Here in the United States, the labor costs are very prohibitive for growing food, especially in Hawaii, which is a shame because the climate there is perfect for growing food, but you can't get help there in any kind of affordable way. I mean, you could pay $50 an hour for a gardener in Hawaii, and that's if you can even find one. In South America, on the other hand, the going wage there is about $10 to $12 per day, and that's a good wage. And they're happy to work in your garden full-time for $10 to $12 a day, as long as you share a little bit of food with them and give them a good, healthy lunch of organic fruits and vegetables. They're happy, you're happy, everybody's happy. Here's something about Ecuador that you got to know. In Ecuador, at least outside the cities, if the whole infrastructure collapsed today, I mean the electricity, the water, the emergency services, the internet, all that stuff, it wouldn't be that different. It's about the same. People just walk down and bathe in the river. You know, local fire truck comes out and distributes water, and everybody's got their little plastic buckets and everything on the street, and they get their water that way. And where'd the fire truck get the water? They just went down to the river and pumped it out of the river. And they grow their food in their garden, and they just go to the garden and pick what they want to eat. You know, they milk the cow, whatever. These people already live so close to the land that if there's a total collapse, the Ecuadorians are doing just fine. And that is one reason why I recommend checking out Ecuador. I want to be in a place that is so insulated from the troubles of the United States that if the whole freaking system comes down, that I know I'm not going to starve. And I know, more importantly, the people around me are not going to become desperate. See, it's not just you who has to be prepared. You got to think about the people around you. If they become desperate, then you're in danger. So if you're the only one in a community that's prepared, and the people around you, the 1,000 families around you, are all just completely illiterate about preparedness, and they have no idea what's coming, and they don't even have a bottle of water in the house, then you're in trouble. Because those people become a liability. They become a danger to you. And that's why getting out of a city is a very good idea, in my opinion. Now, you may have a strategy where you could do things like, well, I'll stay in the city till 2011, and I'll earn a bunch of money here in the city because they pay me more here in New York. And that's true. You can earn more money in the city. And then, right before the collapse, I'm going to rush down to South America, and I'll have money to buy land and get set up down there. That's great. That's a great strategy. Just make sure you time it right. That's all I got to say about that. Don't be late. You know, you might be rushing through the border and the border police say, oh, by the way, you can't travel outside the United States anymore, and we're confiscating everybody's dollars and hand over your passport. And if you're carrying chocolate, you're a drug smuggler, if you saw my article today. So think about that. It's better to get out. If you're going to get out, it's better to get out before the problems emerge. And that's why right now is a key time to be making these important decisions about where you're going to put your money, what you're going to invest in, or what skills you're going to learn, and where you think you want to ride this situation out. The situation could be very, very bad. it could also be not so bad, depending on what happens in Washington right now. But in my view, and this is the conclusion of all of this, in my view, the dollar is about to become history. The end of the American empire is imminent, in my view. And it may be months, years, or even a decade, but it's coming. You can see it coming. You do the math, you can see it. So the question is, are you going to be prepared for the transition time when the U.S. collapses, or the government collapses, until there's something new that comes in and creates a social structure in the next society? Are you prepared for that transition? And if you are prepared, then you don't have to be afraid. It's no big deal. Revolutions happen all the time. Just read your history books. And most people in a revolution are perfectly fine. The only people that get killed are those who are on the front lines marching on the Capitol. Don't be those people. Sit back. I mean, yeah, speak your truth, but, you know, don't march with a pitchfork on the Capitol. Not a good idea. And besides, I never advocate violence anyway. Don't use violence. You don't have to use violence. The stock market is as violent as it needs to get. You know, Wall Street is the only violence that's necessary for this revolution to happen. No physical violence needs to take place at all. You can sit back and you can roast some marshmallows. Please don't, though. I mean, that's crazy junk food. But you can sit back and roast some soy burgers over a fire. Ugh, that doesn't sound good either. You can roast some healthy food over a fire, and you can just watch this thing play out, knowing that you are confident in the things that you've prepared, and that no matter what changes are coming your way in the world, you know that you have the skills, the health, the wisdom, and enough savings to get you through it so that you and your family can emerge on the other side and be part of the creation of the next society. And that's the important part here. And I know I'm going to be part of that next society. You're going to be part of it. And I hope that we can work together to make that next society an honest, just society based on power of the people and respect for the people and respect for nature. And let's end this corruption and these outrageous lawbreakers running our country today and these outrageous wars and all of this international imperialism and all this, these toxic chemicals that are in our drugs and our food and our water. We can end that. And we're watching the process take place right now that will lead us to that kind of revolution. And that's why this process is beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. You are watching the transmorphing of a nation from something that is evil and wasteful and toxic into something that can be beautiful, abundant, creative, and maybe even honest. And so that's what I want you to focus on. Be prepared, but be confident and be ready to take part in a better society that we can help create in the future. Don't be afraid of the collapse of this society. These kinds of societies that we live in right now, they are due for collapse. It is the natural order of the universe. The markets are working perfectly. These financial institutions are supposed to collapse. Our government is supposed to be broke because that is the destiny that it has chosen for itself. That is the destiny that the people of this country have chosen by who they've elected and by what they've ignored, by refusing to talk about the national debt. No one's willing to talk about it. And this is the result. It is a completely natural process. There's nothing to be afraid of. So I hope this has given you some information. I hope you find value in this. And I'm a little bit over time. I apologize for that. However, I really wanted to make sure that you get all of this information, and I wanted to answer as many questions as possible. And thank you for your time. I will be sending you an email later tonight with the MP3 file of this entire recording, along with some of the resources that I gave you. And please don't call my friend Gary Carlson at 3 in the morning. He lives in Wyoming, so he's on mountain time. Call him at a reasonable hour if you're interested in talking to him about some gold coins. So join me a week from today, Wednesday night. That's going to be August 1st. August 1st at 7 p.m. 7 p.m. Pacific time, just like we did tonight. We are going to talk about health preparedness and what you can do to be prepared health-wise with your natural medicine chest, with all kinds of things that you can bring into your house that have value, that can protect you against infectious disease, they can protect you against uncertain times. We'll talk about that a week from today. Until then, stay informed, stay prepared, and stay confident in these changes that you're seeing. This is the world working the way it's supposed to work. Yes, believe me, it's going to be a beautiful world on the other side. The transition might be a little ugly, but it's going to be beautiful on the other side. All right, I'll join you a week from today. Thank you and have a good night. This is the Health Ranger signing off for naturalnews.com.